We're going to look for just a moment at Romans 8, 18 through 25. And as I said, today we are just seeking after the Lord together. And in gratitude, we spent all of the songs that we just sang were meant to remind us of who God is, remind us of his character, and remind us of his greatness. And now we're going to move into a time of confession, of thinking about the broken things in our life. In this text from Romans 8, I'm going to read 18, and I think, what did I say, through 25. I'm going to actually go a little bit further than that. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's two things that I want to meditate on this morning as we continue in song and prayer. And that's this: the world is broken. We see the evidence. I don't have to talk to you about the evidence of the world being broken. But here's the one thing I know, that we all have something that we can point to in our own lives and say, this is the evidence in my life that this world is broken. This is the evidence in my circle of friends or in my family that this world is broken. And I can see all around me, as it says in Romans, we can see this bearing out even in our lives, that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation is broken, but there is hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of God. There is something even, not just in our physical bodies, not just in our relationships, but even the world is broken. Just the creation itself is longing to be restored, it says. And so as you look around that, as you see that in your life, you have a couple of options. You can either be just devastated by that and give up and hide away and just be crushed by the weight of the brokenness of the world, or we can look to the one who would save us. We can look to the one and we can lay ourselves down. And it says that this, and as we think through the brokenness, the brokenness is meant to point us to the fact that it says this here, the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. I've never experienced the pains of childbirth firsthand, but I have seen them, and they are significant. Amen? The pains of childbirth are significant, and if we were to approach the pains of childbirth not knowing what that was going to bring forth, who would go through that? We have 5 children, and every time we go through that, I wonder, why on earth does she want another child? Why does she want to go through that pain again? because there is a glorious reward, right? There is something on the other side of that pain that is more precious than that pain is devastating. And here he says that the creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. That there's something ahead of this pain that we hope for. He says that we hope for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now, we hope that is seen is not hope. So if we can see what's ahead, we're not hoping in that. If we can see what's looking ahead, that's not a hope. That's just something that we can see. But he says, we hope for what we do not see, and we wait for it with patience. Now, it's almost like Paul understands where we're going to go right here. Paul, I can't do that. Anybody else? Paul, I can't do that. You're telling me that there's something ahead. You're telling me that this is pains of childbirth, that all the brokenness that I see in this world is a pain of childbirth. There's something ahead of this, and so you're telling me to put my faith in that, and I can't do that. And he says, he answers that question right away. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. It's almost like he just exposed to us our very weakness, right? By calling us to do something that we can't do. Hey, hope in the future. And going, I can't do that. He says, well, hey, the Spirit will help you in your weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That is great comfort when all we see is the brokenness in the world. That is great comfort when our hearts are broken because of the pain that we see in life. It's a great comfort, whatever you see. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, the things that you see in your life, whether it's external or whether it's things that you've even done, the brokenness, I can tell you the brokenness that I've caused myself in my life far outweighs anything that anything's been done to me. And so we see that, and we can trust, and we can hope for the future of the child that is to come. Kind of poetic around Christmas. I almost said Easter. Poetic then too, but it's poetic now around Christmas time. As we are longing, this childbirth is now birthing this Savior that is Christ. And so as we continue in some prayer, I want to encourage you to look in your life, to examine your life. And it's very easy to not do this, because it's very easy. I want to say this. It's very easy to come into church and like hide everything that's going on in your life, all of the evidence of brokenness that you have. It's very easy to just push that away. And that's not what church is about. What Christ is calling us to do is to bring all of that with you. Bring all of that and lay that at his feet and say, God, I don't get it. I don't even know how to pray for these things, but I'm going to trust you that there's hope ahead, that these pains are pains of childbirth, not pains of death. And I'm going to trust and I'm going to hope in what I don't see. And your Spirit is going to intercede for me and pray for me as I lay that upon you. The Spirit prays according to God's will, and I can trust in that. So bring all that, bring the brokenness, bring the things that you're tempted to hide, and lay them at his feet as we continue, like I said, in prayer. We're gonna move into some prayers of confession. And this one we typically don't do out loud, just so you know, so don't get scared, right? But if there is something in your heart that you're seeing, the brokenness around me, part of it's caused by me. Part of it's my attitude, my selfishness, my brokenness, the hurt that I've caused, the words that I've said. And so I want to confess that to the Lord, to lay that at his feet and trust and ask him for forgiveness and trust that it was taken care of on the cross. Let's go there now. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that your word reveals our brokenness, reveals the brokenness of creation, while at the same time, very breath, encouraging us that the brokenness is not, it's not about death, it's about bringing forth life. And Lord, the mystery of how you can take that brokenness and make it into something great is far beyond my understanding. And so I trust that you, with those groanings that are too deep for words, are interceding for me. Lord, I ask that you would be moving in your spirit right now to convict us of the sin that we have caused, the brokenness that we have caused around us. Lord, we just take some time and lay that at your feet. Just take a moment in your own heart and confess to the Lord those things that you have done as you've contributed to this brokenness. Those
thoughts and those deeds, we have usurped your rightful place in our hearts, and we have acted in disregard to your word. Lord, we have, with our actions, we have said that we know what's best, God. I know that you said this in your word, but I think I know better. And Lord, that attitude is an attitude of idolatry. It's an attitude of disdain. Lord, and that's the attitude that we have often had. Whether we would say that or not, we've certainly said that with our actions. So convict us, Lord, of the sin that separates. And help us to trust in your word that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.